Al pointed out, that is the same reading as last week, and we'll have it for probably two more Sundays. And by that time, we should all have that memorized, eh? Yeah, that's right. That's right. So last week, we looked at verses 1 through 4, and there we saw that those found in Christ can and should rejoice in all the various trials of life, not because bad stuff is happening to us, but because God uses trials to grow our endurance of faith in Him, as well as maturing us and making us more Christ-like. From God's perspective, even though trials can be painful, there is more going on. Trials are transformed into times of joy in the Lord because of the Lord. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In verses 5 to 8, James continues to write in that context of trials. So let's pray together and then look at those few verses there. Father, we admit our dependence on you to understand your word and for it to be applied to our life. We admit our dependence on you to actually hear what's going on now in this sermon, in your word. Father, please settle our hearts and our minds. Give us keen ears to hear and eyes to see your truth. Push back the distractions and let us hear from your word going into our lives and changing us. We trust in you for this, Father, and ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. If any of you, this letter was written to Christians, a large number of them spread throughout a large area. It's not just a certain kind of Christian in a certain area. It's to all of them. James says, if any of you Christians, it's an open call, an inclusive call to Christians. If any of you lacks wisdom, well, what is wisdom? The Bible mentions the wisdom of the world, human wisdom of men, wisdom of this age. But the wisdom in focus here is like 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, which says, the cross is foolishness to the lost, but to the saved, the foolishness of God is the wisdom of God. This is about the wisdom of God, about salvation, Jesus on the cross, the holiness of God, doing all for God's glory, the knowledge and understanding of God's truth. All of that, which is what our faith is based on, that's wisdom. God's knowledge enabling us to know Him and discern and carry out His will. Who doesn't want that? What Christian doesn't want the perspective from the throne room of God when facing everything in life? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. This wisdom is not earned or deserved or discovered mysteriously. We are told to go to God and ask him for it. It's an imperative. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Ask God if you lack wisdom. Remember, God created everything. God is the one who knows how many hair are on your head or were on your head. He determines the number of stars in the sky. He sustains the universe. He sustains you and me. God doesn't learn a thing because he knows everything, because everything was created by him. Only he has wisdom. Only he is the source of true wisdom, godly wisdom. And we are told to ask him for it if we lack it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. The gospel is not, if the gospel is not making a daily difference to you, or if you want to be in awe of the holiness of God, or you want God's truth to be your thinking, your reality, you want to be in his will, ask him. Ask. And guess what? Guess what he's like in his giving of wisdom? Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. God is generous. He's not cheap. He's not using knowledge as power. He's not withholding it from us. God is not like that. He gives his wisdom generously to his kids. How encouraging is that? He generously gives wisdom to his children when they ask because he loves them. He wants us to know him and to know his way. So he is like an excited father ready to give his children what the wisdom that they want, the wisdom that they're asking for. He's just waiting for their request. The word translated generously or liberally is a unique Greek word that means singleness or undivided. And in this passage, it brings an understanding that it is God's single, undivided intent to give his children the gifts they need to know and worship and please him, to give us wisdom, which leads to peace and comfort and satisfaction and joy in the Lord. That's what he is excited to give us. That's who he is. That's what he is like. Look at Matthew chapter 7. Flip to Matthew chapter 7. It's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 7. I'll wait for you. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, starting at verse 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So here, Jesus' point in bringing up fathers is grounding God's response to our prayers in the character of God. Fathers who are not perfect and holy, they give good gifts to their kids. How many dads do we have here? How many moms and dads do we have here? A ton. Your kids come up to you and say, can I have something to eat? And you throw a rock at them. How many of you did that? You're not doing that. You give good gifts to your children. And here's the point. How much more the perfect, holy, heavenly Father? His love is holy, his giving is holy, his caring is holy. His invitation to come and ask for wisdom and his promise to give wisdom are rooted in who he is, what he'll do, and what he says. He is generous in doing what he says he will do because that is who he is. His intent is to give you and I the gifts we need to know and worship and please him. And he does so without reproach, without bargaining or hesitation or reluctance, without reprimand or finding fault or disappointment. He doesn't say, "What is wrong with you? I told you you needed wisdom, and now you're coming for it? What took you so long?" God doesn't do that to us. He gives wisdom generously because he wants to. Why is he doing it? Because he wants to. And he loves you. Please give me wisdom, Lord. Yes, you got it. Here it is. but we must come believing him, believing he will give us wisdom. Do you believe God is wise? Do you believe God when he says, ask me for wisdom and I'll give it to you? Do you believe him? Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. We are to come and ask in faith, not doubting, but believing that what God said he will do, he will do. We are able to hide our doubt from people. We're able to hide what we are really thinking from each other. We know that. We do that to each other. If you come up to me and ask if I would give you, just outright give you my beautiful 2007 Yaris sports car, Edgar, can I have your car? You ask me, but in your heart you're going, Edgar's never going to give me that car. It's too amazing. You can hide that from me, right? You can hide that from me. I can't see what's happening in your heart and in your mind. I can't see the unbelief you have in your heart. But we can't do that with God. Everything is exposed and laid bare before him. Listen to Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, the Lord, you know it all together. What we really believe is known to him. And he tells us to ask for wisdom and believe him that he will give it to us. This is all about taking God at his word, trusting in who God is, in who his character is, who he is, what his promises are. Doubting God is not believing God is truthful, not believing he keeps his word, not believing he loves his children, not believing he can give wisdom because it belongs to him. Doubting is believing God is untrustable. Doubting God is believing he is not holy. That's why Scripture says, let him ask in faith with no doubting. Do you believe God is who he says he is in the Bible? Do you worship God according to how he has revealed himself to us in the Bible? If yes, then you believe him when he says things like, there is no other name given by which people are saved. You believe we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is Christ Jesus. You believe that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You believe that all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You believe that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you're a born-again Christian through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you believe those passages with all your heart. So then, believe him when he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Verse 6 continues, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. A person doubting in the Lord is like a wave, just being tossed around from belief to belief to belief. They don't really come to the Lord with a request, because right from the start, they don't really believe it will happen. It's basically, well, God's not going to give me wisdom, but I'll ask anyway. There's no faith. There's no anchor of faith in the Lord. They're double-minded with divided interests, unstable in how they live their faith. That person should not expect anything from God. Why? Because they don't believe God is who he says he is and does what he says he will do. They have no faith. It's like if I tell you I'm going to give you a ride to your next doctor's appointment, then when the time comes for your doctor's appointment, you come to me and ask for the ride and expect me to say no. Even though I said I would do it and I'm ready to do it, you don't believe me and expect a no from me. Your heart and mind were already made up about what kind of a person I am and what I would do before you even got to me. And that's what we do to God. But God gladly and generously offers wisdom and will give it. Not believing he will do that is thinking that God is a liar, which is actually not believing who the Bible says God is. And you're coming up with your own idea of who God is. God's not going to give me wisdom. I can't believe him. I can't trust him. I can't take him at his word. That's what we're doing. Rejecting what the Bible says about God and coming up with something different, our own idea and version of God, which is idolatry. Take the Lord at his word that he will give wisdom when we believe him and ask for it. Now, some of us might expect this wisdom to come in the form of God speaking to me. God told me. I heard God say that type of a thing. And I want to suggest you resist that type of thinking in favor of adopting a higher view of Scripture by accepting God's word as God's wisdom and going to God's word to receive God's wisdom, requesting the Lord give you understanding and knowledge of his revelation recorded in the Bible, asking for understanding and knowledge of the Bible and applying that knowledge and understanding to all of life. I endorse this way of understanding the receiving of wisdom because there are so many passages that point to God's word being God's wisdom. Here are some of them. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. If the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord, and insight is knowledge of him, how do we get to know the Lord?" The Bible. The Bible holds God's wisdom. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. God had Moses say to Israel, "See, I have taught you statutes and rules as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do them in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people.'" The Lord's words, his statutes, that's wisdom. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." So God's law and his testimony, that's God's word, making us wise, because that is wisdom. One more, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. The Apostle Paul says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ is revealed to us in Scripture, and he has all wisdom and knowledge. We receive wisdom from God in God's Word. When we open God's Word and ask him to give us understanding of his Word, and we receive wisdom. The more we study and soak in God's Word, the more our minds are renewed to his wisdom, so that we live life in the reality of God's truth. This is something we're trying to do with our catechism class. I got a few PowerPoint slides up there. In our catechism class, what we do is we ask a question. This question on chapter number 37, go one back, please. We go with a question, and then we ask the question, then we look at what the answer is, and then we find that the answer comes from a whole bunch of scripture. So what the catechism does is bring together all these scriptures to answer a question. We're digging into God's word in catechism class. We're studying scripture in catechism class. It just has the word catechism on it. We are digging into his scripture. We are getting wiser as we are there because we are digging into God's wisdom. That's what is happening. Can we ask God for wisdom in the moment? Instead of just, is it just all about studying God's word and that's the only place that we receive God's wisdom? How about in the moment when we need wisdom, will he give us wisdom? Like Solomon, when the two ladies came to him with the one baby and he decided between the two women which woman the baby belonged to? Yes, we can receive wisdom like that from the Lord, without a doubt. I'm just advocating what I think is a greater overall increase of wisdom from God's word. I've observed that many people expect the in-the-moment wisdom from God, God said to me, while making little or no effort in his objective word, the Bible, God's wisdom, which when studied gets anyone ready for any trial that is to come. When we say we believe God that he will give us wisdom and then stay away from his wisdom, the Bible, what does that reveal about us? Does that fit? Lord, give me wisdom, but I'm staying away from the Bible because I don't like to read, or I don't get the Bible, or I'm just too busy. But give me wisdom. It just doesn't fit. Church, I urge you to take your Bible at home multiple times this week, to take your Bible, to ask the Lord to give you wisdom. Lord, here's your word. Open up my eyes. Give me wisdom. Help me to understand by the power of your Holy Spirit what you are saying to me. You are saying things to me constantly. Look at this. He is saying so much to us. We don't have to go search in mystery out there. Here is God's word. Lord, open my eyes to your truth. Give me understanding. Give me knowledge. Give me wisdom from your word. Church, seek the Bible for help in those moments that you are in, those trials that you are in. Maybe we should be saying more often, what does the Bible say about this trial? What does the Bible say about this moment? Because when we're saying that, we are dependent and we are proclaiming that God's wisdom speaks to those moments. The Bible holds the wisdom that we need in all those trials that come up in our life over and over and over again. Church, pick up your Bibles, read your Bible, study your Bible. That's God's word. Come to catechism class. Learn with us together as we dig into God's word. you and I desperately need God's wisdom in all these trials that we're going through and in all those trials that will be coming. Trials are coming more and more, more and more. Listen to God's word. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's pray together and celebrate communion. Please, Lord, increase our faith and our trust in you. Please, Lord, open our understanding that your word, you have revealed yourself and your ways to us in your word, and we can know what you're saying from your word, and your Holy Spirit makes the link, applying your word into our lives, into our daily living. Lord, please help us to have a higher view of your scriptures. Bless us with wisdom. Bless us with wisdom. Thank you for giving us wisdom. Thank you for giving me wisdom. Thank you, Lord. I can say that assertively based on your promise of what you have said. I have asked for wisdom. Thank you for giving me wisdom. Bless our brothers and sisters here. Bless our church family with an increased amount of wisdom, with a stronger desire to get into your word, to feed on your word, to know you more and be astounded by who you are through your revelation to us. Lord, help us not to be Christians by name only and then living like we want to live. Let us be Christians born again in Christ who value your word and feed on your word and have your word renewing our minds and your word being the wisdom that we are living out in our lives. Oh, Lord, glorify yourself in this way amongst us. We ask for your that you would do this for your glory and for our good. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. We are